I wanted to show you that video before the message because I think it's such a good introduction to our topic today, which is Alliance Missions. And I'll say to those of you who may be watching this online that there will be access to this video. You can find it by clicking on the link at the bottom in the description box or by clicking on the link on our Facebook page. We are in our final week of our 40-day journey. It will end on Thursday, so 5 days left here. And again, I hope that this has been as much of an inspiration and encouragement to you as it has been to me. And I have especially enjoyed the times that I've been able to gather with others to talk about and to pray about the various themes and issues that are found in the prayer guides. Perhaps you are more perceptive than I am, but I'm going to make a little confession here, and that is I had a little bit of trouble at the beginning of this journey seeing the big picture as to why the various themes were chosen and arranged the way that they were. And now that we are nearing the end of this prayer journey, it makes a lot more sense to me. And so I'm going to briefly recap our journey just in case anyone else was unable to see the big picture here. We began week one with the holiness of God, and this is the foremost issue that we need to get right if we want to experience the life that God has destined for us. And I want to say, at the same time, this is the foremost issue that sin and our flesh does not want us to get right. And so there's a battle here. Week two focused on what our proper response to the holiness of God ought to be, and that is repentance. And I want to remind you that repentance is a gift from God that enables us to be restored to a right relationship with Him so that we can experience the full life that He has always intended for us to enjoy. And so again, this is why we have to get the holiness of God right in our thinking. In week three, we brought face to face with the reality that God knows that we cannot live up to His righteous requirements on our own. And so again, He has provided for us. He has given us the Holy Spirit to be with us and to be in us, to empower us for holy living. So you can't do it, but He can do it in you through His Spirit. Then weeks four through six, we've been focusing on the practical implications of living out our new life in Jesus. Because God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into His kingdom of love and light, our natural response should be to want to share the good news with those around us. And so we've talked about and prayed about evangelism and marginalized people and reaching out to them in our daily encounters. And today we've arrived at Alliance Missions. And so in a nutshell, when you look at this whole thing, this 40-day prayer journey has been a picture of our growth and maturity in Christ. That's what it's about. Alliance Missions, then. I want to make it clear right here at the beginning that I know that there are a number of great missions organizations doing the work of spreading the gospel throughout the world. We have relationships with and we support some of those agencies. God is using all these different groups to reach all the different groups of people in the world. And so I'll make it clear, the Alliance doesn't have a corner in the market when it comes to missions. All right? However, it is my opinion that there is no missions agency doing a better job reaching the world with the gospel than the Alliance. Missions is at the heart of who we are as the Alliance. You may or may not know, but the U.S. Alliance is part of the Alliance World Fellowship that represents over 6 million members, speaking 180 languages in over 22,000 churches. Through Alliance Worldwide Ministries, every 4 minutes, someone prays to receive Christ. Every hour, 3 patients receive physical and spiritual care through Alliance Medical Ministries. Every day, through 43 radio broadcasts, people without a gospel witness hear the good news. Every week, over 3,500 new believers are baptized. And every month, 250 new groups or churches join the Alliance Worldwide family. And every year, 10,000 students are trained and equipped for ministry through more than 125 Alliance theological schools. It just gives you a picture of what the Alliance is doing. Let me tell you a little bit about my personal story with Alliance Missions. My Uncle Clyde and Aunt Doris were career missionaries with the Alliance, serving in Cote d'Ivoire for more than 30 years. I have cousins who have served on the mission field with the Alliance in Africa, South America, and the Middle East. When I was preparing to go into vocational ministry, there was a time when I believed that God was calling me into cross-cultural ministry. And so there's a rich history of Alliance missions in my family. Of course, we have a shared history of Alliance missions here. In the short time that I have been here at Chinook Alliance Church, we have had international workers from China, El Salvador, and Cote d'Ivoire. And those of you who have been part of this church for many years are familiar with many other Alliance international workers as well. In the Alliance, we like to refer to ourselves as a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. Acts 1:8 reads, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." These are some of the last recorded words of Jesus before he ascended back into heaven. And if you take and read through the book of Acts, you'll see that it is a record of how Jesus' words were fulfilled through the power of the Holy Spirit upon the lives of his first followers. The book tells the story of how the gospel message spread from Jerusalem and Judea into Samaria and then out to the ends of the earth. And if you are familiar with the ending of the book, you know that it ends rather abruptly. It's like this unresolved cliffhanger. It just doesn't seem right. And this has led some to conclude that this is intentional. It's intentional because this story is still being written. The work of spreading the gospel is unfinished. Alliance Missions has a role to play in this story. And as members and adherents of the Alliance, you and I have a role to play in this story. I'd like for us to consider then 3 invitations from God that each one of us encounters from time to time, and how it is related to our involvement then in Alliance missions and this unfinished story that is still being written. I will be drawing from events that Luke records in Acts chapter 13 through 15. We're not going to read those full chapters there, but in them, we can see illustrations of how these different invitations from God played out in the lives of these early believers. And then I will also, along the way, make applications for us today. Here's invitation number one. God invites us to allow him to continue working out his purposes in our own unfinished spiritual journeys. We are works in progress, and God is continually at work in our lives. But there are times when he wants to do what I will call a significant, life-altering work in our lives, and that's what I'm talking about here. We see an example of this in Acts chapter 13. Luke tells us that there were a group of leaders gathered together in the church in Antioch on a particular day. And he says that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So here was this invitation from God that he wanted to do something new in them. He wanted to keep working in their lives. When we accept God's invitation to continue to work out his purposes in our own unfinished spiritual journeys, we're allowing him to do a number of significant things in our lives, and I'm just going to mention three of them. By accepting God's invitation, we are allowing him to mold us into his son's likeness. I think it's easy for us to see this and to accept this. By saying yes to God's invitation, we are taking another step toward conformity to the image of Christ. Nothing too controversial here, so I'm going to move on to the next significant work of God that he desires to accomplish in us. And that is, when we accept God's invitation to continue to work out his purposes in our own unfinished spiritual journeys, we are allowing him to help us to see the world through his eyes. So he's conforming us to Jesus. The next level he wants to take us to is to see the world then through his eyes. This is where stretching begins for us. He wants to awaken us to the fact that we don't see things as clearly as we think we do, or as clearly as we should. Only God is completely objective and unprejudiced in how he sees things. He wants to give us his vision and his perspective. And this naturally leads to a third significant work that God wants to do in our lives. And that is, when we accept God's invitation to continue to work out his purposes in our own unfinished spiritual journeys, we are allowing him then to correct and refine our understanding of him and his ways. Allowing him to correct and refine our own understandings of him and his ways. And this is where it can be very, very difficult for us to accept this kind of a change. We see an example of this in Acts chapter 15. The chapter begins this way. It says, "Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, 'Unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved.'" Here we discover that this matter of law and grace was one that God was still working out in the early church. And I don't believe that when these certain people went to Antioch that they were motivated by bad intentions, at least not at first. They were truly convinced that in order to be engrafted into the body of Christ, a person had to first obey the Mosaic law. I mean, this is how they got there. It seemed reasonable to assume that this is the path that God intends for everyone to follow in order to be properly related to him. So there was a misunderstanding about who God is and how he works. Of course, we know that this was not a safe assumption and that a correction to their thinking was desperately needed. And on, if we continue to read through the chapter 15, Peter reminded everyone of his experience with Cornelius and how God gave his spirit to them, these Gentiles, without requiring them to follow the Mosaic law. And this opened the opportunity for Paul and Barnabas then. They shared their experiences of going to these various cities. And they argued that salvation in Jesus is God's free gift, not dependent on works. And in the end, James, representing the body there in Jerusalem, rendered this verdict. He said, "It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God." So a correction was needed. Here's the point, and that is we need to remain humble and open to God's corrections and refinements to our own understanding of who he is and of his ways. Much as we'd like it to be otherwise, guess what? None of us has God all figured out. All of us, including me, have areas in our theologies that need God's tweaking. Be humble. Invitation two, then. God invites us into the unfinished stories of individuals, communities, and people who he loves. God invites us into their unfinished stories. God's invitation to get involved in the unfinished stories of others he loves has the effect then of propelling us in a number of ways and directions. First, his invitation propels us to pray. It should come as no surprise that we would pray in response to God's invitation to play a role in the unfinished stories of others. After all, prayer is the first work that he calls each of us to. It is a means by which we come to understand the heart and mind of God and his plans for us, especially for our involvement in the lives of others. We need to pray, and God gives us direction as to how he wants to be involved in their lives. Second, this invitation then propels us to serve. Like our Master Jesus, we take up the role of a servant. And this service can take many forms. There is no one-size-fits-all brand of serving. God will direct you, and it will fit you. Through our service of others, then we enter into their lives. And again, God opens the doors for us to speak the gospel into their unfinished stories. And third, this invitation propels us to send and support those who have been called to take the gospel cross-culturally. Through prayer and service, we come to recognize that there are many more unfinished stories that are beyond the borders of our sphere of calling and influence. And the only way of reaching these people is by sending and supporting those who have been called by God to leave their safe and familiar surroundings and to carry the gospel message to them. We can do this than through our sending and support of Alliance missions. Invitation three, and that is, God invites us to join him in his unfinished mission, which we call the Great Commission, and to do this until all have had an opportunity to hear and respond to his invitation to become his disciples. I'm confident that all of us are familiar with what the Great Commission is. As the 11 disciples stood on a mountain in Galilee, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Great Commission is Jesus' mandate that we continue to make disciples, and by that we mean followers of Jesus. We're to do that among people in all the nations of the earth using the same methodology that he did. This is what we see unfolding then in Acts chapters 13 and 14. After being set apart by the Holy Spirit, it says, Paul and Barnabas went from place to place and they proclaimed the gospel message to the various people groups that they encountered. And as we read that account, we see that at times their words were met with eager anticipation and many came to believe. At other times, they met fierce opposition, even being physically mistreated. Whether they were accepted or rejected, they continued on with their calling. Why? Because they entrusted their lives and the ultimate outcome of this message to the one who had been given all authority and who had promised to be with them always to the very end of the age. And this same Jesus invites us to join him in his unfinished mission until all have had an opportunity to hear and to respond to his invitation to become his disciples. Now I'm going to read a brief passage from Revelation, and then I'm going to close the message after that. I want you to listen to this vision that John saw. He says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" The question for us this morning, will we accept God's invitation and join him in his unfinished mission? Will we faithfully play our part in seeing that his throne is surrounded by a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language? Friends, we have such a great privilege to think what a privilege it is to be part of what God wants to finish, that we can partner with him. Joining in Alliance Mission's efforts means that we are able to participate in new and unfinished stories around the world. How will you answer God's invitations?